Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back, my people. I am back. I had some people to come in, so I had to end the broadcast and come back to you to finish where I left off. We was in the middle of reading Acts 16, verse 25. This is Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Our kids' homes, our jailhouses and graveyards, high alert, audio number one. High alert. High alert, people. This is very, very serious, parents. Don't take this broadcast lightly. Don't take what I'm saying lightly, parents. This is a warning. This is a warning to you, parents. One moment. I read to you the news article. I read to you the article, not the news article, the article that I was reading to you earlier. I read it. It says everything about it's getting worser and worser and worser among our young people today. So don't take this broadcast lightly. Don't say this lady, she's talking out the side of her neck, out the side of her head. No, I'm trying to talk some sense. And to you parents, and to you so-called leaders, that's what I'm trying to do. You need to stop making church services about Jesus and about paying your tithes and about Christmas and John the Baptist and Lazarus and the woman with the issue of blood. And you need to stop making church services about those topics. We have a whole society and a whole generation of people dying, young people. Or it doesn't matter to you because you already grown, you already 60 years old, you already 80 years old, you done lived your life. So you don't care nothing about all our young people that's dying and losing their lives all over the earth. So you need to sit down with all that stuff y'all making about holy days, the G-O-C-C-I-E-P, them holy days and a day of atonement, and talking about what the government doing and all of that, what Bill Gates doing and what Michael Irvin doing and basketball players and the Jewish people, anti-Semitic. Who cares about what any of those people are doing? I care about our youth that's dying and hurting and killing and destroying themselves and other people around them. The little 13-year-old girl killed herself and her three little friends trying to steal a car. Trying to steal a car to get it to some black Negro in some neighborhood in the ghetto, put a hit out for the car, and the little girl, 13 years old, thinking she can get up in there and steal it and do get it to him so she can get $500 or $600 so she can go buy a PlayStation 5 or some Jordans. So it's not only our young children. It is also the grown adults and the older people that have our young children getting involved in all this kind of stuff. It's called a car ring. I know all about it. My son was involved in it when he was 13 years old. No, 15. He started from 15 years old. He got involved in the car ring, they call it. Clydesdale. He left church because I had him in church and all of that, which it didn't do him no good, and it ain't doing our young people no good. It didn't do me no good. It didn't do my mama no good. It didn't do nobody no good. Nobody. We all was raised in church. Everybody know about Jesus and God. Everybody. Okay? So, no. I ain't going with that stuff no more. So y'all people need to sit down, you leaders, and stop talking about all this unnecessary stuff that y'all talking about on Sunday service and the Sabbath day, you Hebrew Israelites. Y'all need to stop talking about all that unnecessary stuff that ain't going to do nothing to help our children and to help us either. Stop pretending like your God, the Most High, and Jesus is helping things. Because they not, that's not, it's not happening. It's not happening. So you can stop pretending because you want to deceive the people to make the people think that everything is okay and everything is going well and God going to bless you and the Most High is with you. We can clearly see people. Listen to me. We can clearly see if we open our eyes that that's not the case and that's not true. When you got 13-year-old and 10-year-old breaking in car dealerships, I read this, what, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a 10-year-old. I think he was 10 years old. Him and his friend broke in a Jeep car Chrysler dealership trying to steal a brand new car, and they got caught. Guess what they had done? In jail. At 10 and 12, 13 years old, in jail. Prison for car theft. So know your Jesus not working. Know your Buddha not working. Know your Allah not working. Know your Most High is not working. Guest call-in number, 515-605-9790. Our kids' homes are jailhouses and graveyards. High alert. Audio number one. I'm here to alert you. I'm here as the advocate of the young people to alert you parents. To alert you parents because you didn't pay no attention to Boo Boo and Bebe Nell. You didn't pay no attention to these young children. You didn't pay no attention to them. They give you signs. Children give you signs. They give you all kind of signs. It's just that we as parents don't pay no attention to the signs. Because we so busy and caught up with our own life and our own self and what we got to do and when we got to do it and how we got to do it. And we're not paying our children no attention. So guess what? When a child don't get no attention, guess what? They don't care. They don't care. When they ain't getting no support, they ain't getting no direction, they ain't getting no nothing from nobody up in the house, they going to go off as children. I did it. You did it. We all did it. It's just these children today, they worse than what we was. They carry guns. We didn't carry no guns. They carry guns. They steal cars. They murder people. They murder their mamas and their daddies and all kind of stuff. They cousins, they best friends. This is no joke, people. This is no joke. It's time to pull the rug. Waking up under y'all church folks going, Jesus loving, Most High, Hebrew Israel light. No help leaders for the community people. Oh, yeah, I got kids going to my church. What do that mean? Is the kids learning anything? Is the kids getting any direction? Is the kids getting any support? Is the kids getting any help? Absolutely not. All you're teaching them about is Jesus and the holy day and the Sabbath and the dietary law and what the government doing, Hebrew Israelites, and the Christian church, what Jesus going to do and love God and love God and love the church. That's all you people talking about. Why these killers and these gangsters is out on the street corners recruiting our young people, recruiting. Can y'all hear me? Recruiting our young people, recruiting our youth. So they will grow up to be murderers and killers and drug dealers and gangbangers and rapists and homosexual and lesbians and pedophiles and child molesters. You got these people recruiting children. Why y'all folks sitting up in church singing about Jesus and God will make a way and all that stuff, you got these people on these street corners, these grown Negroes, recruiting our young people to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's why the graveyards are overcrowded with 5-year-olds, 7 years old, 10 years old, 15, 20, 18, 17, and the list go on and on. Who's talking about that? Is GOCC and IUP number EEI talking about that? Absolutely not. Why? They don't give a damn. No, I can't keep it clean. Because guess what? You people ain't clean. You parents is not clean when it comes to your children. So I'm not here to keep it clean tonight. You got blood on your hands. And the God of Israel's name is Ahiah. He's going to deal with you parents. He's going to deal with you parents. Yes, you got a lot of blood on your hand. You leaders, you elders, you all of y'all. The blood of the innocent is crying out from the grave. The grave of the children, they crying out, saying, where was my mama? Where was my daddy? How did I get in this situation? How did I get here? What happened with my life? I'm only 10 years old, and I'm dead. I'm only 13, and I'm in jail for murder. Yes. So I was in the midst of reading Acts 16:25. Let me go to the scripture now. Paul and Silas was praying and singing praises, not to Jesus, but to the God of Israel. They were singing praises to the God of Jerusalem. And they was in jail. And all the people in the jail heard them singing and praising the God of Israel that they was locked up behind bars because they was doing what they needed to do to tell the people the truth. So they were spanking the God of Israel. His name is Ahiah. For anybody who want to know. No, his name is not Jehovah. His name is not Jesus. None of that madness from the Christian church and the Most High from the GOCC. No, it's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. high is my name. So Paul and Silas, they were singing praises. They was in prison, not for murdering nobody, not for breaking in nobody's cars and stealing them, carjacking and robbing and all that. Not for none of that, drugging and gangbanging, none of that, and homicide, killing somebody and raping somebody and drugging somebody, none of that. They was in prison because they was teaching the people about the God of Israel, and they had all other kind of religions like Christianity, Islam, Buddha, and all the rest of that religion that was out in their time, in their day. And they came to the people with truth, like I'm coming to you people tonight with truth. And they was put in prison for that. But they began to sing, and the jailhouse heard them. Everybody heard them singing. And they were singing so good, and they were singing so great, and they were singing so hard to the God of Israel that the God of Israel caused an earthquake to hit the jail and open up all the prison doors so that all the people in the jail could walk free. Is that going on today? Is that going on today? No, it's not. All the prisons, they got chaplains in the prison where they go in and teach the inmates about Jesus and about mostly about Christianity. All the jails have got Christianity. The chaplains talk about Christianity, Jesus, and, you know, being saved. But is they teaching those inmates where little Billy and Bob and Becky and Sue and Connie and Riri and them is? Is they teaching them about the real God? Absolutely not. And that's why a lot of them go to the services in the jail with their little Bibles. They go up in the room and they talk to the little chaplains. Most of them white anyway. You might have a few black ones that go, a few black pastors. Most of them white chaplains though. I know, I used to be a chaplain when I was a Christian church pastor. Yeah, I went to the jails. I had the inmates to come in, everybody sit down with their Bible, and I was talking to them about Jesus. That didn't help them. It didn't help them get out of prison. It didn't help them get out of jail. Wasn't no earthquake coming through or nothing when they had in the jail in their room praying. Didn't no earthquake hit. Why? Because he's not real. He's not the God of Israel. So Paul and them was praying there was an earthquake. And look what the scriptures say right here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It was midnight. Midnight. And suddenly it say, Acts 16, 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands was loosed. All the prison doors came open. Have this ever happened? Have this ever happened in this world? No. Why? If y'all people, if y'all preachers and leaders and elders and all y'all teaching the people about the same God that Paul and Silas was praying to and singing to, why is it not happening? Exactly. That's not the same God that they were singing to, that y'all people teaching these young people about sitting up in your pews Sunday after Sunday and Saturday after Saturday. So nothing is happening. You know how many people want to get out of jail and can't get out of jail? Ain't no earthquake came to shake the prison doors, to loose the bands and open the doors and let them all go out and walk free. Other than that happened, the revolving door is more 10 years old coming through, more 12, more 15, more 13, 17, 18, 20, 22, 32, still just coming in a revolving door, in and out, in and out. JoJo been there 10 times. He can't stay out of jail. He's 50 years old now. Y'all listen to me. Listen to me. JoJo can't stay out of jail. He's been in jail since he was 10 years old. He's 50 years old now. In and out, in and out, out and in. Revolving door. Instead of JoJo coming out and getting a hold to these young people, he's been in and out of jail, but he keep going back. Instead of JoJo coming out, getting a hold to these young people on these street corners, walking around looking for drugs and cocaine and weed and pills and guns and violence, instead of JoJo looking for them, JoJo looking for something else he can get involved in and go back to jail. He looking for something he can get right back involved in to go right back to jail, to prison. So JoJo won't help Lil Kia and Lil West and them. He won't help them. That's why these children are running wild. You got a lot of men been in jail for 20 years. They get out of jail. What do they do? What do they do? Do they go back to their block? Do they go back to their hood? Do they go back to their street and get a hold to these young children walking around, want to be like them? Absolutely not. What are they doing? Going to the crack house, the drug house, the whole house, the strip house. They haven't been rehabilitated, and they stayed 20 years in prison. There was no rehabilitation. You might get 1% that come out of prison rehabilitated, but not that many. They go back and forth. So who do the young people have? Who do the young people have to take hold of? When John been in jail 30 years, he come back out doing the same thing. He ain't thinking about helping these young men like him. Well, he should be a mentor. He should be a mentor. He should be somebody on the street corner with a microphone in his hand telling these young men and women. But we don't have nobody, do we? We don't have nobody on our corners trying to help turn our young people's lives around. And that's why the jailhouse is full of them and the graveyard is full of them. So they prayed, Paul and Silas. And it was an earthquake. And the whole foundation shook, and the doors was open, and everyone's bands was loose. In verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. The warden, or what should I call it, correctional officers, the ones watch over the prisoners. He woke up out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open. He couldn't believe, oh my God, what is going on here? All the doors of the prison is open. Who opened them? So I wish I had some inmates in front of me right now today. Men and women, I tell them, you know what? Y'all wasting y'all time talking to Jesus. You're wasting your time learning about Jesus. You're wasting your time learning about Jehovah. You're wasting your time learning about Allah. You're wasting your time. Allah cannot make no earthquake come and open up the prison doors. Jesus and none of the rest of them false gods. If they could, then they would, because they got a lot of worship, and they got a lot of praise, and they got a lot of songs been sung to them, in church, out of church, in the jail, all over the earth. But they can't cause no earthquake to let Steve and Ronnie and Peggy and Charita and Lalita out of prison. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Guest calling number 515-605-9790. So where we are right here. So the keeper woke up, the correction officer working up, looking for the prison, because the doors of the prison is wide open. Paul said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what it said in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. Today it's a gun. And would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice. Paul began to cry out with a loud voice. I'm talking about the power of the real God. That's what it's going to take to help our young people, to save their lives. To save their lives, to teach them principles of life, to teach them what life is all about. It takes the real God. GOCC ain't doing nothing. I feed them. Talking about the Most High, the Most High. That's all they say. They ain't doing nothing to help young people. Teaching them how to wear a head wrap, put a head wrap and a so-called mitre on the head. And the women put a head wrap on the little girls. What is that? So Paul cries, wait a minute. Don't kill yourself. We all here. We are here. Don't hurt yourself. So he stopped the man from committing suicide because he was about to take his own life out. He said, wait a minute, we right here. Ain't nobody left, ain't nobody went nowhere. But they could have. That's the point that I'm making. You know how many prisons they got built all over, especially in the U.S., United States? They got so many prisons, my God, people. And they study building new ones. They study building new ones. And they study digging up more cemeteries and building more graves to bury our young people in and our children. Yeah. All you can think about is the money. I got to go to work. I got to go to school. That's all you can think about. That's all everybody think about is money. You don't train your child to think about what you've been thinking about all your life. Now they want to go hijack something or rob somebody or steal something or kill somebody to get some money, because that's all you've been chasing, parent, mama and daddy, all your lives. Money. Now you got the little girl and the little boy feeling like they gotta have it. You didn't raise them the proper way. And that's why they dead today, and that's why they in graveyards and in jails. Verse 28, Acts 16. But Paul cried with a loud voice, said, don't hurt thyself, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. This is the correction officer now. He came trembling to Paul and Silas and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be with the God of Israel? Because your God is the real God. What must I do to be with the God of the Hebrews? What must I do to serve the God that you serve, that opened up the prison doors and let all the inmates go free? What must I do? They never have experienced nothing like that in the jails, and they never will until they serve the right God. He said, I gotta have your God. Because I've never in my life seen nothing like this so powerful in my life. Never. What kind of God are you serving, man? Who is this God that can make all the prison doors open at one time? I want that God. And they brought them out. He said, sir, what must I do, Paul? What must I do, sir? And they said, believe on Ahaya, Yeshaya Mashiach, the anointed one in the Hebrew. Believe on Yeshaya and his father Ahaya. Believe on them. Not on no Jesus. That's just injected word that don't belong in the Hebrew scrolls. Believe on him. If this was Jesus, we got thousands and thousands and thousands of jailhouses all over the earth. If this was Jesus, the same God that you people are talking and teaching people about in these jail cells and these jailhouses, this miracle would have been took place long time ago. But because it's not Jesus, and because it's not Jehovah or Jehovah, a miracle took place right before the correctional officer's eyes. And he said, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So Paul said, you know what? You're not only going to be have deliverance, but everybody in your household will be saved. And they spake unto him the words of Ahaya and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour, talking about the correction officer, he took Paul and Silas the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straight away. So him and his whole house got baptized that night. The warden and all the rest of them, I guess. Probably the warden too. The warden and the security, all everybody. This is what I'm saying, people. This is what I'm saying. The jailhouses is the houses and homes of our children today. I almost cried today. When I read it on the news, a little 13-year-old girl, I got a little granddaughter. It made me think about my granddaughter. She's 7 years old. This little girl ain't number 13 years old, 3 a.m. out there trying to steal a car to take it to some Negro in the hood to strip the tires off and take the radio off and take the rims out and take whatever they want to take out to get some money, and she lost her life, her and her three little friends. Where are you mamas at tonight? Where are you daddies at tonight of those little girls? The little girl and her friends, and where are y'all? Why y'all not making nothing? Why y'all not saying nothing? Why y'all not speaking up to help the other young people not to do the same thing that your children have done? Where are you? Don't you even care that your son and your daughter lost their little life? Where are you? Rise, rise, parents. Rise for your children. Rise and speak up for your children. Don't go for it no more. Don't take it no more. Stand on them neighborhood streets. Stand on them corners. Stand on them blocks. And be a watchman for them young people. They need somebody to watch over their souls because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They only doing what somebody have recruited them to do and trained them to do. The little girl, she broke in the car. She was able to get the car, steal the car. Why? Because some Negro trained her how to steal cars. I love the hood. You love the hood so much that you lost your baby, that you lost your child. You love the hood, don't you? The hood took me down, you and everybody else down. It's still taking people down today, but you love the hood. So that's the story of that. So I want to read Job chapter 35, verse 10, for a precept. Job 35:10. Job 35:10. It says, but none said, where is God? My maker who gives songs in the night. Just like he gave Paul and Silas a song inside that jailhouse to unlock them doors and let them go free. Job said, but none said, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who gives songs in the night? He gave Paul and Silas a song, the God of Israel, Ahia, at midnight. He gave them a song. Are your child getting a song? Are your daddy, little boo-boo, at bay? Are they getting a song in the jail? No. Ain't getting nothing. All they getting is Christianity. All they getting is a big, fat bill when they get up out of jail. See, when you go to jail now, you got to pay to be in jail. It's not free like it used to be. You got to pay to lay in that bed for 10 years. And guess what? When you get out of prison, you owe $100,000. They charge you for the bed. They charge you for the food. They charge you for the uniform. They charge you for the toothpaste. They charge you for everything. It's all about a system called money, a jail system of money. That's what it is. It's not there to help your child, to the juvenile system, the foster home system, all of them. It's all about money. This is not there to rehabilitate your child and to make your child better and different when they get out. How can jail make anybody different? How? All you're going to do is lay on that bed for 5, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 80, thinking about what you did to get there where you are. That's it. That's it. And say to yourself, what did I do? What happened? How did I get here? How did I get in this situation? Without no direction, young people. Without no support, young people. Without lack of love and lack of support, lack of understanding in your household. That's how you got there. I'm going to give y'all a testimony about a brother I know. Your church man. And he raised his nephew. His mama didn't want him, and his daddy didn't want him. So they wanted to throw him in a foster home. And he was raised up in a foster home before his uncle, the brother that I'm getting ready to tell you about, went to get him out of the foster home. His uncle, the brother I'm talking about, is a church man. He was in church for 60 years of his life. But his nephew was in and out of foster homes because his mama and his daddy didn't want him. And he decided to go get his nephew and bring him to his house to raise him. But he's a church man now. You're a church man. He don't know nothing about life. Most church people don't know nothing about life. They isolate themselves to Christianity. They isolate themselves to the pew. They isolate themselves to the church. They isolate themselves to Jesus. They isolate their mind to false reality. They don't know nothing about life. They don't know nothing about what's going on. They don't know nothing about what they got to do. They don't know nothing what they got to do to solve nothing in their life. All they know is about Jesus. So he called himself going to get his little nephew when he was about 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old, out of the foster home. And he took him to church, he said, tried to raise him in church and, you know, show him the way of Jesus and Christianity. And he said his little nephew would just sit there. Every time they went to church, he would just sit there and just look around at everybody. Young man wasn't learning nothing. Just like I didn't learn nothing in church. You didn't learn nothing in church. Nobody learned nothing in church but to love Jesus and God. That's all you learn. You don't need nobody but Jesus. You don't need nothing but Jesus. You don't need to know nothing but Jesus. Oh, my God, that's so sickening. That is so very sickening to teach somebody that that's all they need in their life. My God. So he's 10 years old, a young man. Okay? He tried to raise him up in church. But church couldn't help that young man. So when the young man turned like 14, 15 years old, just like my son, he went to his uncle and said, no, I don't want to go to church no more. He joined the gangs. Like my son, joined in with the gangs. Instead of us sitting down with them on a Sunday, teaching them about Jesus, we should have had them sitting at home in front of us, teaching them the law of the God of Israel and the principles of the Bible. But we didn't know the Bible. Christianity don't teach the Bible. I know, I used to be a Christian pastor. I know what they teach. They don't teach the Bible. They teach about Jesus. That's all they teach. And being saved. And speaking in tongues and getting the Holy Ghost. That's all they teach. That's not the Bible. That's not the law. So instead of me sitting up in there watching that preacher sweating and all that, I should have been at home with my child, molding him and shaping him and teaching him about life, giving him experiences of what I went through as a little girl growing up in life, telling him things, showing him things. But I didn't do that. And that's how I lost my child, to streets, to drugs, to gangs, to the jailhouse. Thank God he's still living at 37 years old. Thank God for that. Thank you, Father. He done seen his best friends get their brains blew out. Carjacking, trying to steal a car. His best friend got his whole brain blew out in front of him. Thank the God of Israel, a higher, the God of the Hebrew kingdom, that my son is still alive today. So, yeah, the nephew left the church and joined the gang. Yeah. Joined the gang and got involved in drugs and women and sex and all that stuff. And at the age of 20 years old, the nephew said, I'm going to Detroit, Michigan. He from Toledo, Ohio, the nephew, him and his uncle. He said, I'm going to go to him and his friends, got a car, and drove, probably hijacked or stole a car. Most likely they stole the car. Drove to Detroit, Michigan. At 20 years old, this young man. Been in and out of foster home. Didn't have no mama. Didn't have no daddy. He didn't have nothing but an uncle, a religious uncle that didn't know nothing about life, didn't know nothing but Jesus. That's all he could ever tell him, Jesus. So at 20 years old, him and his friends drove to Detroit, Michigan. And they went into a Mexican neighborhood of a suburb. And they see a man walking in his house, getting out of his car in his driveway, walking in the house. They took the gun, ran up to the man to rob him. Listen to what I'm saying, parents. To rob him. And the man didn't want to give up whatever he had. And he tried to struggle, and they killed the man. Right there on his driveway. And right now today, my brother, my friend, matter of fact, I used to be his pastor when I was a pastor of the Christian church. My friend, he used to play the keyboard for me when I was a pastor. His nephew right now is in prison. He was 20 years old when he killed a man in cold blood. They say he the one pulled the trigger. He was with two other friends. He in jail right now for 60 years of his life. So people, what did I just tell you? Talk for Kids Radio channel is trying to make a difference. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to say all I can say. I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going to go all where I can go to make a difference in the lives of our young men, women, and little girls and little boys. Won't y'all be pastors and y'all elders and y'all leaders? I told you the young man in jail for 60 years. He still got 50 to go. He only been there 10. Still got 50. My God. All because he wanted some Jordans. Or he wanted some weed. Or he wanted some pills, or he wanted some drugs, or he wanted some money in his pocket. Can y'all hear me? Instead of y'all talking about the Sabbath class on Saturday and what the government doing and what Elon Musk doing, and being an Israelite, what it means. Trying to convince the government and the Jewish people that live over there in Israel, the fake Israel, if you try to convince them that y'all black people are Hebrews and Jews, instead of you wasting all your time doing that, Hebrew Israelites, y'all need to be trying to help these young people. Elder Ricard, I'm calling your name out, bro. All of y'all. All of y'all. What you doing, Elder Ricard? What are you doing? I ain't never seen you, bro, make one broadcast about young people. Not one. What kind of man are you? What kind of person are you? What kind of leader are you? You ain't made not one broadcast. Every time you come on your YouTube platform, Elder Ricard, you ain't saying nothing about young people, about children, what y'all need to do, how we need to come together. Nothing. You spend all your time talking about the government, the government, the government. Talking about the Christian church. You ain't no better than the Christian church, bro. You just like them. The only thing, you just got a different doctrine. But you just like the Christian church, bro. None of you Hebrew Israelites, your children are dizzy. They're sitting up under y'all teaching. They are dizzy, man. You know what I mean when I say dizzy, bro? I mean that the children are, they lost. They lost. They are lost. Dizzy. These are the kind of children that grow up to be murderers, rapists, homosexuals, lesbian. These are the kind of children, they dizzy, sitting up under your teacher. You keep talking about the same thing. You ain't never said nothing to help them. You ain't never said nothing to show them nothing in the Bible about children, what they need to learn, what they need to know, the young people. Say what you Christians, and you Muslims, and all of y'all leaders. Let me go to my next Bible verse. So that young man got to spend the rest of his life Right now, he's about 30 years old. He won't get out of jail. My God, he got 50 more years, people. Oh, God. I don't even want to think about it now. Because it hurt me. Because I knew the young man. I knew the young man. You know what? Every time I used to see him, I didn't see him that much. But when I did see him, I used to try to befriend him. Because I could see all of the chaos and all of the anger and all of the bitterness and all of the resentment that he was harboring inside his soul. I used to try to talk to him. Chris was his name. Chris, hey, brother. I was a pastor. I used to try to talk to him. I try to talk to all young people. When I was a pastor, I tried to talk to, I had a men's house, a homeless shelter for men when I was a pastor. Young men, old men, didn't matter. All kind came through the shelter. Always try to talk and make a difference in other people's lives. Because I know what it is to grow up without direction. To grow up with drugs, around drugs and alcohol. To grow up around prostitution. To grow up being child, being raped and molested. I know what it is. To have a mama that don't care nothing about you. And a daddy that ain't never there because he always drunk somewhere on drugs. I know what it is. I done lived the life. And that's why I'm always trying to go after young men and young women to teach them that you don't have to live your life the way I live mine. I ain't got time for that Jesus stuff. Even when I was a Christian pastor, I didn't have time for that. I've reached out to many young people. Many young people. I'm talking about 6 years old, seven, 8, 9. I got a lot of them right now. They grown. They'll tell, yeah, pastor, she's a good pastor because she helped me to change my life. Because I hated God. I hated God. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God. I was suicidal. I hated my mom. I hated everybody. But pastor helped me. She sit me down and taught me things about my life, about me, and what I shouldn't be doing. I got testimony after testimony after testimony of young people's lives that I have helped to change. And that's why I am here tonight on Talk for Kids Radio Channel, because I want to continue to change the lives of young people, because it's important. It's important that I do that. It's important that you do that, leader. Parent, it's important. You think it's so good. Oh, yeah. Oh, little Becky, she's so beautiful. But little Becky ain't got nothing in her mind. Y'all listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight, parent. Little Becky don't have nothing in her mind. Yes, she pretty. But little Becky ain't got nothing up here but anger, bitterness, frustration, and misery. That's all little Becky got in her mind. That's all she feels. That's all she feels. Because she living around her environment and her household is full of bitterness, anger, and resentment. Everybody always arguing and want to hurt each other. Mama cussing and daddy cussing at each other. Talking about what they going to do to each other. They going to kill one another. Yeah. The mama throw the dad out, say he ain't no good. And see, little Becky is seeing all of this. Mama getting up at 12 o'clock at night, getting a bag, filling it up with whole clothes. Yes. Fill it up with whole clothes to go walk out on the street, try to sell her body as a prostitute. Or going up to the strip club to go up and down a pole to get some money to dance on stage. Little Becky is sitting on it. So what do you think, little Becky? Mama's an alcoholic. Mama sell drugs out of the house. She got all kind of people knocking on the door all night, asking for cocaine and crack cocaine and weed and pills and everything else. What you think little Becky gonna do? Little Becky will be lost. Little Becky gonna take to the streets. That's what little Becky gonna do. That's what my son did. He took to the streets because I was a street person. I was a street walker. I stayed in the streets. I stayed in the streets, man. I loved the streets. And I was like, it started when I was 7 years old. I loved the streets. I regret it today, Pam. I regret every minute that I could have been helping my children. But I was too worried about what I needed, what I wanted, what to satisfy me, what to make me feel good. Oh, I just buy my Xbox or PlayStation, stick it in front of them, and they okay. That's what your parents do right now today. I just stick an Xbox in front of them. They'll just play that till they go to sleep. And they play it day after day after day after day after day. Nothing to help the child to be edified, to grow up not to be like Chris. Like Chris. I used to talk to Chris. I remember now. And Chris, hey, brother, how you feeling today? Hey, Pastor, hey, I ain't feeling too good, he said. He would always say something like that. I ain't feeling too good, Pastor. Could y'all hold on 1 minute? Oh, it's lunch me. Okay. One moment, people. Your bed.
Hebrew.
Me, Hebrew. Look, Okay, people, I'm back. After help. See what I tell you. You know who just came? You know who just came to my door? Young people. Guess how old they are. One is 21, 20, the other maybe 26. These are the kind of people's lives that I impact, and I'm not bragging. It's just that's just who I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm all about. I love young people. I love youth. Youth, they got so much energy. They have so much life. They have so much sense. They just need somebody to edify and elevate and bring out the good in them. And bring out the understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge in them. They need somebody to teach them the things of life to help them not to make the same mistakes that we made as young people. So those are young people just came here. They came to get some food. I gave them some food. But it's okay, people. This is what I do. Back to what I was saying. Where is it? Back to what I was saying, people. Let me turn on the AC and get a little bit of water. We have one more scripture to read. One more. Those are two young men. All kind of young people I'm involved with because I'm an advocate. I'm an advocate for young people. And I want to help young people not make the same mistake that little Chris made because he had an uncle that was so religious that he didn't know nothing about life to teach him, to get a hold to him, to show him nothing but Jesus. Right now, he's going to be in jail till he's 80 years old. He got 50 more years. He's 30 now. I used to try to tell him, you know, Chris, don't get in no trouble, bro. You know, try to, you know, keep yourself, you know, stay away from so much trouble, so much peace. He said, yeah, I'm trying, but it's hard, he said. He used to just talk real with me because I would talk real with him. So let's go to Genesis 30 now. I want to talk about Joseph right now. Joseph. That's another young man in the Bible named Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 20 through 23. So y'all need to stop making all these broadcasts and church service and Sabbath services and picnics and holy days and banquet days and program day. You need to stop doing all that stuff. Youth Day ain't doing nothing to help people. Youth Day is not doing nothing to help young people. What is Youth Day all about? Youth Day is all about the children just going to church again, eat a hot dog, drink some soda, a lemonade, sit down and listen to the youth pastor or the youth leader, what they talking about. But the youth leader ain't talking about nothing but Jesus. He ain't talking about nothing but John 3:16. He ain't talking about nothing that's going to help these young people to develop, to understand how to deal with situations and circumstances in their life. Right now, them young men that I'm dealing with now, I'm teaching them about the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, the God of the children of Israel. That's who I'm teaching them about, not about Jesus. You know what? He just came in my house, and I got a sign on my shelf that said Hebrew Queen. And he looked at it, he said, Hebrew? I said, yes, Hebrew, me, Hebrew. He said, Hebrew Queen. So right there, that was something that went in the young man's mind about me. Okay? So you got to have examples and principles and set guidelines in people's lives so they can look at something that you're doing. And young people, that's how they learn. They learn from looking and observing things. And that's why I said a youth service will never happen. Help the young people, because all they're going to do is sit there and listen to the youth pastor, and after that they go home. They ain't talking about sex. They not talking to the children about drugs. They not talking to the children about alcohol. They not talking to the children about prostitution. They not talking to the children about pedophiles, molestation, rapes, alcohol, drug addiction, jail, youth homes. They ain't talking to the children about nothing but Jesus. So that's why my friend couldn't help his nephew. And he spent 50 more years of life in jail. Why? Because all he knew was Jesus to tell him. Because that's all the youth pastor ever taught him about. So let's talk about Joseph. Genesis 39. So I'm calling all you leaders out. Every last one of you leaders. Because our kids' homes are jailhouses and graveyards. High alert. Audio number one. That means I'm here to warn you that it only going to get worse concerning y'all young people. If you leaders and you parents don't get up off y'all asses and do something to help these young people. Genesis 39, verse 20. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath towards the forepart. Wait, hold on. I'm an Exodus, sorry. Genesis 39, verse 20. And Joseph, master, took him and put him in the prison. Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, were bound, and he was there in the prison. So this is Joseph, the one that his brother sold him to the Israelites, and they took him to Egypt, Africa. And Joseph was a young man when they sold him, his brother. He was like 14 years old. Very, very young. 14 years old. Young. So very young. And they put him in prison. Verse 21. But Ahijah was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In the sight of the keeper of the prison, just like Paul and Silas. The God of Israel gave them favor and caused an earthquake so the keeper of the prison could be converted into the God of Israel. Same here with Joseph. The keeper of the prison found favor with Joseph. He liked him. It was something about Joseph that was so very unique, that was so very special, that he liked him a lot. And it says here, verse 21, Genesis 39, but Ahijah, not Jesus, not Jehovah, Ahijah, the God of Israel, was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Ahijah was with him, and that which he did, Ahijah made it to prosper. So Joseph, 14 years old, 15, 16, 17 year old, young man in prison, sold in Egypt by his jealous brothers. So Ahijah was with Joseph in the prison. He was with Joseph in the prison. Can you say that God or Jesus is with your son or your daughter in the prison and they being treated like a dog up in there? The food that they feed the inmates, I wouldn't give it to my dog to eat. I would not give it to my dog to eat. The food that they feed the inmates, the food that they feed you in the grocery stores, I wouldn't give it to my dog to eat. So you know if all the food in the grocery stores is nasty and jacked up, what you think is up in the prison house? My God. My God. But the God of Israel was with Joseph in the prison. He was with Paul and Silas in the prison. And they sung, and God, the God of Israel, gave Joseph favor with the prison guard. And whatever happened in the prison, everybody went to Joseph. Oh, my God. Everybody, it say whatever was done, it was done by the hand of Joseph up in the jailhouse. Everybody looked to Joseph. And it says right here in Genesis 39:23, that whatever Joseph did or whatever Joseph laid his hands to, it prospered right up in the jail. It prospered. And it prospered so much, my people, that they had to let Joseph up out of jail. The bars couldn't even hold Joseph no longer. because that's how blessed he was, and that's how much the God of Israel was with Joseph, and that's how favorable the God of Israel made him with all the people around him. That's not going on with Lil Sue and Johnny and JoJo and Bob and Billy and Connie and Smith and Teddy and all of them. That's not going on with them in the jailhouse. The inmates are being treated like animals. Being treated like animals, man. They could not touch Joseph because Joseph was so very well favored in the eyes of the God of Israel. He loved Joseph. Couldn't touch him. Joseph could do whatever he wanted to do up in that jail because nobody do nothing to him. And eventually they just let him out. Is that happening to your son? No, your son got to do that 20 years in jail. Your daughter got to do that 15 years or that 10 years or that 5 years in jail. Ain't no favor in her life. Ain't no favor. My son had to do every bit of the jail time that they always gave him. Why? Because I only knew about Jesus. And that's all he ever knew about. He didn't know the God of Israel. He didn't know him. So the God of Israel blessed Joseph in the prison, in the midst of a hellhole place called jail. That's what it is, a hellhole. That's the people that make it out of that place, what it is. What it is. It ain't nothing but a big old building. Just like school. School is the same. Well, ain't nothing but a jail. School ain't nothing but a jail. You got to walk in a straight line to go get your lunch. You got to walk in a straight line to go to another class. You got to walk in a straight line, raise your hand, ask the teacher, can you go use the bathroom? It's nothing but a jail. So the children are in jail. When they are out of jail, they in jail. When they go to school, they in jail. When they go home, they in jail. Because all they can do is do their homework and go to bed. They in jail. And when they grow up and end up doing something wrong to hurt somebody or do something against this evil, wicked law that they got set up in this earth, they go to jail again. So everything is just jail. Everything is jail. The mind is in jail. From a child all the way up to you're grown, you are in jail. Going to the Christian church, you in jail. All you can do is just sit there and listen to the pastor talking to stuff that don't make sense and don't add up with the Bible and ain't helping nobody do nothing and learn nothing and know nothing. You in jail there too. Everything is in jail. When you get up and go to the bathroom in church, you got to walk slow and raise your hand and let them know. Everything is jail. Everything is a program. Everything is to program the mind to be nothing and weak. So if I look up the jail statistic right now, it'll blow you off the roof. It will blow you off the roof. One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to do that. But Joseph was so very blessed. And the very same brothers that hated him. See, it was something going on up in the house where Joseph was being raised with his brothers. The Bible says that Israel loved Joseph more than he loved his other kids. then that's where the favoritism start kicking in, and the brothers start getting jealous because they felt like Joseph was getting all attention, and see, we can't raise kids like that. But it wasn't that. It was the simple fact that the God of Israel had favor on Joseph ever since he was born. It was something about him that the other brothers just didn't have. And the father, Jacob, recognized that. He recognized that he was a special child. So he treated him the way that he supposed to be treated, special. He made him a special coat and all that. I'm getting ready to leave in a minute. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. So I just wanted to bring those things out about Joseph, how he was in prison and he got out right away, how Paul and Silas was in prison, they got out right away. But our children got to do 50 more years. They got to do 10 more years. They got to do 5 more years. Some of them ain't never coming out. Some of them got 80 years with double life, 250 years. Young man, 22, 23 years old, got double life. Double. Life without parole. We're still in 3 cars. Again, caught with 2 pistols. Life without parole. Unjust system. Unjust. Unjust system. The children of Israel, they always carried guns and weapons and swords. Swords back then to protect themselves. But we've been so docile and so programmed and so docile and weak and controlled by our government that we got to do everything that they tell us and our children to do. Go to school or we're going to put you in jail. Or we're going to take your kids from you. All of that madness. Madness. So we've been in jail and prison all our life. Everywhere we go is a jail. Everything we do is a jail. Everything. All the clothes that we wear got everything to do with jail. Believe me, people, what I'm saying to you. So our children are so messed up. They so destroyed. They don't got no one to help them, no one to guide, no one to lead, no one to talk, no one to direct. So much death. So much. So much. My God. My God. The God of Israel is on his way back, people. Because it's too much death. It's too much death among our youth today. They dying by the shiploads. By the shiploads. Ain't nobody saying nothing. That's what's really just puzzled me. So nobody is saying nothing about what is going on with children and young people. Why? Why, people? Why? 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 What is wrong with you parents? That you can't speak about your own child's death that you can't speak about your own child incarceration at 11 years old. No, he don't supposed to be in jail at 11 years old. He don't supposed to be in no graveyard at 12 years old. Or she. He just supposed to kill himself at 7, hang himself in the closet. Why? What is wrong with you parents? Are y'all on drugs? Most of y'all are on drugs. Yeah, that's most of the black hood is on drugs. Y'all smoke a lot of weed. They call them greenhouses now. A lot of weed. You're zoning your mind out while your little child is running around somewhere on the streets. Getting turned out to heroin at 15, getting turned out to heroin, cocaine, crack. You somewhere worried about a blonde in a greenhouse. Oh my God, I think about my nephew. Oh my God, my nephew. My husband's nephew. My husband, he's not here no more, but his nephew. His son. This happened about, I'd say about maybe 9 months ago, maybe 6 or 7 months, not that long, 7 months I think. His son, his oldest son, he called him Doodoo. You know, they got all kind of names for these children in the neighborhood. They can't call them by their name. Like my son, he called his son Doug. What kind of name is that to call a child? Doug, oh my God. And his name is Dudu. And see, we've been programmed by the government and the people that rule these countries to call our children all those nicknames. Dudu. You say your son is shit. Excuse me, Ohio. When you say Dudu. Dudu is his name. And guess what Dudu did? Just after 6 months ago or 7, he took his life. My little nephew took his own life. You know how old he was when he took his life? He was about 23, 24 years old. He took his own life. Y'all hear me? They say he was running from the police. He didn't want to go to jail or some crazy stuff. But he took his own life. And my nephew, his daddy, he going on with his life and laughing. And, you know, he got 5 or 6 more other sons and ain't trying to teach them nothing, just still hood out, hood life, hood way, ghetto, fabulous daddy. That haven't took his son's death serious enough to go after these young men and these young women in the black neighborhood of Detroit, Michigan. And be a voice for his little dead son that committed suicide. Because he had such a miserable, miserable, miserable life growing up. No direction, no understanding, no nothing. No nothing. My God, how can your parents be so cold? How can you be so callous? How can you sleep at night knowing that your 11-year-old little son or daughter is locked up in the juvenile system or the foster home? Get a hold to yourselves, parents, because you got a lot of blood on your hands. And I'm just here to tell you that you have a lot of blood, not only for your children, your own children, the children next door to you, down the street, kids that you know that you could have helped and you didn't try to help them, you didn't try to say nothing to them. You see what the child was going through, walking down the street, kicking a rock down the road. When you see a child kick a rock down the road, that means that child is depressed. His life is miserable, man. Lonely, empty, lost, and miserable, just kicking a rock down the road. So lonely. So lonely that you don't do nothing. You pass by these children all the time, every day. Oh, girl, I ain't getting in nobody's business. I ain't messing with these damn kids out here today. They crazy. Yeah, well, who made them crazy? Who made them crazy? Your parents made them like that. And the ghetto and the hood that you refuse to take them out of. The environment. You refuse to take them out. Because you love that neighborhood. Man, I've been living here for 30 years. I ain't finna go nowhere, girl. Well, you know what? That cell block 12482, they're sweeping it out for Johnny and May May. Because you refuse to leave that environment, the ghetto, the hood. That's where they been recruited at. That's where they been recruited to be killers, robbers, drug dealers, rapists, molesters, gay, lesbians, all kinds. That's the recruiting station. You don't want to get your child out of the recruiting station, he will be recruited. You know, how much you sit them on the pew and sing about Jesus, that ain't going to help them. They're going to recruit them, believe me, to be just like them, nothing but a jail cell lover and a graveyard killer. So with that, parents, with that, people, I think I'm going to say good night now. I think I said enough. I'm running out of time anyway. What is life when you don't have direction? What is life when you don't have affection? What is life when you don't have no possibility of ever being who you need to be? What is life? It's just a lonely, dark road with so many holes. I fell in one, I fell in two, I fell in three, and I never knew me. This is life. I fell in one, I fell in two, I fell in three, and I never knew me. I growed up to be so careless, and I never understood me. But I am here today on Talk for Kids Radio Channel to set young people free, because they need me, they need you, they need the whole world to help them come through. Talk to y'all later. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Our kids' homes are jailhouses and graveyards. High alert. High alert. High alert. Talk to y'all next week.